Guided Disruption in the Workplace. Today, we are exploring a fascinating and complex topic, generational dynamics in organizations. How do we effectively manage teams made up of individuals from different generations, each bringing unique perspectives on work and adapting to ever-evolving technology? Our goal is to uncover how these generational differences can become opportunities for collaboration, creativity, and innovation rather than challenges. Joining me today is Clint Runge, CEO and founder of ArcRival and an expert in generational dynamics with extensive experience in leading innovative organizational strategies. Clint, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, happy to be here.
Yeah, my first question actually is, why the exclamation mark?
It's a great question. So my name is written Clint with an exclamation point. It's actually an interesting story. When I was younger, this is a good lesson for all parents. When I was younger and I was learning how to write my name, I wasn't that confident. And so my mom taught me to spell my name with the exclamation point as like an additional character. And so I just learned to write my name that way. And so it just became my name. And credit to my mom, over time, I think I got more confident. I think it did help me. Here I am years later, and I think it worked.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. What led you to specialize in generational differences? It's such an interesting area of expertise.
So I'm part of a group called ArcRival. It's an organization I started when I was very young, coming out of university. And I'm largely in the marketing communications side of the world. And when you're young, you're naive, you want to do all these things. And I deeply believe that myself and the team around me, we had all these great ideas. So we started ArcRival. Now, the one advantage that we had over our competitors was we understood young adults, okay? Because we were naturally young and it was a natural place for us to market to. And so companies would hire us because we were young. Usually being young and inexperienced is like a bad thing. In this case, targeting young adults, it was a good thing. So that became our niche. Now, over time, of course, I get older, but I realized that in order for ArcRival to keep its marketing position, we would have to become not just intuitive, but actually make that a serious study. And so that's when I realized that I have to really keep on top of understanding what are the driving forces for a generation? What makes one generation tick to another? And so I actually became more of a culture expert over time. And that really led to not just understand, because you understand young adults today, and today, of course, we'll probably talk a lot about Gen Z. If you understand Gen Z, in order to understand them, you have to understand millennials and Gen Xers and boomers and silence. You have to understand every generation. And so that's when it became, for me, more about multi-generational understandings rather than just Gen Z. Now, my organization still focuses just on young adults, but myself, as I go out and speak and do podcasts like this, it really is a wider view of culture.
So you are actually meeting companies and organizations and you see a multi-generational workforce, right? Now the question, and I think all of us are always interested to see how the perception of work evolved across different generations. I mean, do you see a difference? So what are the main points around it?
Yeah, of course, we're all working in different companies. We're all experiencing the tensions, and yet we still see the opportunities that exist in a multi-generational workforce. I think there's a lot to unpack there. But one of the biggest differences that I see is just in how people operate, generationally speaking, within an organization. Let me explain what I'm talking about. So if we look at our oldest generation working, and this would be a smaller population today, but our silent generation, if you look at the era in which they grew up, which would largely be in the 20s and 30s, getting into early 40s, that there was the Great Depression that was happening worldwide. You had World War II that was happening. It was a tough time to grow up. And so they actually saw the opportunity and wished that there would be systems in life. What would make things better for me is if everybody was working on the same system. And so they desired to have systems in everything, systems in their home, systems in their work. They believe that having very rigid systems in a business atmosphere is the most productive way to do work. Okay. Now comes along a boomer generation, okay, born after World War II. And they come along and they've got the world at their fingertips. Now is an era of progress, okay, globally. And there's so many great things happening. And of course, they're embraced and told, essentially, now that there are these systems, we just want them to be modernized. So they modernized everything, our banking systems, our credit card systems, our city planning. It all is a stem of boomer thinking. And that, of course, also extends to work. So they put in modern systems into work that they think are the best way to run it. Now, even today, boomers who are CEOs of companies or part of a C-suite, they will tell you they know the best way to run a company. Okay. So silence wanted the systems but didn't have it. Boomers created the systems that work desperately needed. And because they modernized and created the systems, they generally believe they have the best system. And it's hard to argue with them because they've been very successful.
Yes.
It works. Okay. So Gen Xers come along. They have to go through the systems established. They get no say. They have to put their head down and do the work. And that can be very frustrating. And you'll hear from a Gen Xer, even like me, who's a Gen Xer, you'll hear some sarcasm in that, right? Millennials come along. All these systems have been in place now for decades. And they start asking the really hard questions. Is this the right system? Are we doing the right thing? Are we doing it for the right reasons? And that's incredibly disruptive. Like, that upturns everything. No one, now the systems are being challenged. That's scary for some. It's exciting for others. But they ask these really hard questions. Now you have Gen Zs who have entered the workforce. There's all these questions about what is the right way to do things. And Gen Z is creating their own versions of what they think it is. If you have a system they think is in the way, they go around it. I did a study just recently where I looked at one company. There's one task that they needed to do. And there was only one way that you should do it. But Gen Zers in their company were doing it 12 different ways. They just believed there was a better way to do it. And they just came up with their own version of it. So they went around the systems. Now, you can see right there, look at the tension. One way to do it, the 12 ways to do it, top down versus bottom up. All this tension is happening in multi-generational workplaces all over the world.
Yeah. So you're very right about all these tensions. And I can relate to it because I can see that we have this whole generations sitting in different places in the company. Now, the question is, when these tensions exist, how do you manage them? How do you not demotivate someone who's coming up with different ways of doing things and being asked to do it only one way or not their way? How do you get around this?
I think it is very challenging.
Especially if the CEO is, let's say, from the boomers or from Gen X, who's very top down. They know everything. The top management knows everything. And then you have people coming in and asking, no, this is not the way. We can do it in a different...
There's other ways to do it. Well, I should just say, I think it is very challenging. And it is, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you're an organization that struggles with this, you're not alone. This is an incredible issue across almost every business that has multiple generations in it. And of course, as you sort of acknowledge, the tensions, there's also an incredible opportunity. Okay. So the real, you ask, what? How do you get around this? One of the ways that I like to think about it is to say, well, what are the opportunities in having a multi-generational workforce? Because if you're all really working towards something, seeing having a multi-generational approach to it becomes very advantageous, just as it would having people from different backgrounds and different culture or different areas of the world where they live. Like, diversity can be very positive. It can also be very difficult. So what's your attitude towards that as a company? Okay, if you embrace this, then I think you're setting yourself up well. And leadership drives this, right? Leadership can set the tone on this. Culture is bottom up. The vibe and the tone is set from the top down. People will follow your lead. And if you complain about it, well, everybody else is going to complain about it. So the first thing is, do you embrace this? Do you truly see this as an opportunity? The second thing I would say is, do you have a strong mission? Do you have something that everybody is working towards? Because if you don't have this one singular, like, we're all in the boat rowing to go do this thing, or we're all going to take this one mountain, then everybody else is left to come up with what they believe is their version of what mountain to climb. This company does this. Another group thinks the company does that. Well, maybe in the past, your older employees, at one time, the company did do something different. They're still hanging on to that. If you have one mission that that's very clear and compelling and everyone buys in, the multi-generational stuff starts to dissipate. Do you believe in the multi-generational approach? Do you believe that provides great opportunity? And can you set all of them on one mission? Those are my top two ways to help get around it.
Interesting. Yeah. I think we need to create this focus on the goal, on the mission. And yeah, it's an interesting insight. Now, have you seen companies use technology to bridge this divide?
Well, I think technology is another one of those areas where technology actually causes divides, multi-generational divides, and it can bring people together. So what is, again, what's the belief system in using the technology? I have seen technology communication platforms like Slack or Teams. That's been very positive, I think, in bringing people together. But most recently, technology around like using AI in work has become a divider, where older people are a little more cautious about it. And maybe that's appropriate, acknowledge that they may be right, but they're slower to embrace it. And you already have younger generations who have been, they're using it in their schooling systems at university, and now they're bringing it right into work. And they see it as part of the way of getting things done. That technology right now is a divider. And largely because it's new, any new technology is going to disrupt everything. And it's probably been true since the beginning of time that new technology is first embraced by people who are younger and slowly adapted by people who are older. That's just the way life works. I can recall as a Gen Xer coming into the workforce, I did all my design work on a laptop. And I was actually an architect originally, and people did everything by hand. And they were scared of what that meant with this new technology. Would it replace them? Would they lose the skill? And I think those conversations are always happening. And it's only going to get better or worse depending on your point of view. And I think AI is just the latest in this moment.
Yeah. What do you see? This is interesting that you brought up AI. Do you see different generations reacting differently when the AI topic comes up?
I see it two different ways. I do see different generations react. I do think you're, again, you know, maybe you're some of your older Gen Xers and boomers and your C-suite, they don't have time, will be number one. They don't have the time to really get into it and learn and understand how to embrace it. And number two, they don't have the interest. Again, very successful people in business or in their industry, they've been doing it a certain way for a long time. It's worked. The desire to have to go learn a new way to do something, the incentive just doesn't feel like it's there for them. But younger people who want to get ahead and grow, I mean, the incentive is all there, right? So I do think there's some multi-generational division there. But I will also tell you where I've seen the divide is just in pure belief in the role technology plays. And that is not a generational thing. You are either someone who embraces technology or you don't. And I think that I can see there are members of every generation who have taken AI and said, I love this. This is the future and I want to be a part of it. And it's less of a demographic and more of a psychographic, if you will. It's just a belief system. And that does go across every generation.
Do you see in different geographies the same pattern of generational behavior, or you would find a Gen Xer in India different from a Gen Xer in America, for example, or you see the same traits all across the world?
That's a fabulous question. The generation that I listed are largely Western. That's largely a Western generational breakup. When you get into Asia, specifically in China, completely different set of generations, just because culture was so different there. Same thing with India, and Asia in general has a slightly different setup. Now, the older you go back in time, the more different these generations are, completely different. Culture's different, the way their, you know, countries are organized and led are different, and the influences are different. As you get to these younger generations, so let's go to Gen Z. Now, that, your Gen Z in India, okay, very similar to your Gen Z in America. Okay, the younger you get, the more these generations are getting globally aligned. And the reason, of course, is as it's technology. So we're all looking at the same videos and laughing about the same things. We're all watching the same news. We're all devastated by world disaster, natural disasters happening. Our economy affects your economy, and your decisions affect our decisions. So we understand that now at a much more intimate level. And so I think Gen Z, because of their connectedness on through different digital platforms and social platforms, they're more aligned. And I think Gen Z is the first one to look at maybe younger millennials and go, yeah, there's a global thing there. Last caveat, again, we are talking about industrialized nations. And of course, if we go to any, I guess the term is third world or economically deprived nations, that's different, okay? Because they do not have the technology to align them. And so that is a completely different set of generational characteristics.
Yeah, I guess anyone who has a smartphone today in the Gen Z is more or less the same across the world, right?
We're all looking at the same stuff and being influenced by the same thing.
Same stuff, yeah. This has made us one world, truly one world in this.
Yeah, again, cool opportunity and also like, oh my gosh, all this new set of inputs to have to deal with, right?
When we are building an organizational culture, how can leaders ensure that it resonates with all generations? Maybe with Gen Z, exactly what we discussed, it will be easy. But when we are looking at an organization that is globally spread, how do we make sure that it's reaching the multi-generational across the geographies?
Yeah, I think that's where you have to get to. When I create the mission or I create the alignment and what I want everyone to do, what are we all trying to accomplish? I want to make sure that there's something for every generation. Why do we work is a pretty interesting question, right? Why are we all working? And the reason that a silent generation or a boomer generation is working may be very different than the way a Gen Z is working or a millennial, or the reason why they're working, okay? And so I want the mission to be able to be translated into every demographic and in every geography, right? So in every country where you might have different, your global workforce might find themselves. I'll give you the multi-generational view, but I will say that a silent generation, again, the oldest potential workforce in across the world, your oldest generation, again, silent is a Western philosophy, but you will have that same person in every company. It's sort of like still hanging around. They might be in their late 70s or 80s, but they're still there and to have influence in organizations. I got to tell you, if you sit down and interview them and you say, what does it mean to be successful? Why are you here? Like, what does it mean to be successful? They will tell you largely that there's this shared sense of I've made it. Okay. I'm surviving and I've done it. I've seen the worst the world has to offer and I'm still standing. And they have this sense of duty to the organizations that helped keep them there. So a lot of these people our oldest have been with organizations for a very long time. And that's because they have a sense of duty. Also goes back to like the military sort of thinking. You pledge your allegiance to your country, to your flag, and you do the same to your family. And of course you do the same to your work. My dad went to work for one company his entire life and he is so proud of that. But you could never ask a younger person today to do that, right? If you ask a boomer why they're working at the organization or what does it mean to be successful, you'll hear words like consistency and honor. And there's these images of pride that come along. They created the businesses largely. They started them or at least greatly influenced them. And they're so proud of that. And so they're here because they have pride in what they do. They have pride in their company. They have pride in the product they put out in the world. And they want to share that. So they're still working because it's part of who they are. It's deeply here. Gen Xers, what does it mean to be successful for them? You'll hear words like biggest and best and most. Okay. So they're here to get them to maximize everything. All right. They got to go through your system, but they're going to get the most out of it. And for them, this is largely a reflection of image. So where I work reflects my personality. It tells others who I am. And so I want the most. I want to get do the best I possibly can. Well, that's a very much a Gen Xer attitude. Millennials, though, it's not about that. For them, it's about relationships and connections. Work is a place for them to be social and meet other people. As the world gets lonelier, work becomes a hub for people to get together. And so, yeah, work is a connecting point for them. That's why they work. Gen Z, you'll hear different language. For them, you'll hear words like impact and satisfaction and meaning in what I have to do in my work. To them, it's all about achievement. What can I achieve at this place that I'm working for today? And by the way, if I can't achieve what I want, I'll go work somewhere else. Okay. So there's largely an achievement factor. So there's your five generations working today. And you can see that the reason that they're there is largely different. And so if I'm a leader of an organization, I want to make sure my mission or whatever I'm telling everybody from the top, everybody can see their role in that. They can find their reason to work as being a part of that.
Okay, so my next question is related. How can we as leaders ensure that every generation feels included when we are doing a change?
You have to include every generation in the decisions. A lot of times, and I'm guilty of this too, we'll make decisions, we'll think that we're doing all the right things and we have hearts that want to do the right things. But unless you have someone representing every generation in your decision-making, you are likely missing something. And so what I would recommend to those organizations is, if you're doing change management, make sure that's a diverse by age. Right now, we think of diversity in terms of skin color or cultural backgrounds and different, you know, life preferences. That's how we think about diversity today. But in this way, in this context, when you realize that your youngest and your oldest just see the world totally differently, you got to have them in the same room together. And what I have found is that when you put them in the same room together, tensions tend to ease. People start to get along. We all want to be happy. And so I think when you put everyone in the same room to work on that change management or on those ideas, you get better results. If you do that with a group that just looks like yourself, you're going to miss something. And even if it's not intentional, you're just going to miss something.
Thank you, Clint. And these are fantastic insights. If you could give one critical tip to leaders managing multi-generational teams, what would it be out of everything that we discussed?
Determine your priorities. And what I mean by that is when you are hiring and putting people in different positions, what role does seniority play? Because it used to be the major reason why someone got the job. They were older. And so they were next in line. But now I think you have to decide, what's the real priority? Is it experience? Is it leadership? Is it skill? Is it communication? It's not just seniority. I think loyalty still plays a role, but it's not just that. But what is the priority? And I think that's how a multi-generational team will be successful, is when they know the priorities in which they want to advance their career, what they have to operate within.
Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your expertise. It's been so inspiring to hear how we turn generational differences into opportunities for growth and innovation. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Join us next time for more on guided disruption in the workplace. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Live amazing, do amazing. Live amazing, do amazing.